You're listening to KTNA Talkeetna, and now for Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the Northern Susitna Valley. Created by your friends and neighbors at Pothole Productions and Talkeetna Community Radio. From comic relief to serious beliefs, each week brings you a fresh nugget. I'm Carol, and tonight's show is about Memorial Day and veterans, and I have as a guest here tonight Mel Shepherd. And I wanted to start out with a little bit of a song here. It's called Hymn to the Fallen. There we go. Okay, a little bit about the history of Memorial Day. And let's see, there's a big question about when it really was started, because several different states were honoring their military veterans after the Civil War, and some were Confederates and some were Union soldiers, and it was very difficult because they were buried in the same grave sites and same areas, same cemeteries. And so they would not put flowers on all the graves, only on the ones, like, say, if they were Confederates or Union soldiers. And so several of the states in the South claim to have Memorial Day as the first. It was in 1866, on May 5th, that finally, when they honored the local veterans who fought in the Civil War, and it was in Waterloo, New York, the birthplace of Memorial Day. And that was designated by President Lyndon Johnson through Congress in 1966. That's when they determined, okay, this is going to be the date. And several other places like Columbus, Mississippi, said they did it on April 25th, 1866, to commemorate the Battle of Shiloh veterans. And there were two or three others, one in Richmond and one in Carbondale, Illinois. So it wasn't... By the end of the 19th century, Memorial Day ceremonies were being held on May 30th, and they chose that date because that's when they decided that the flowers would be in bloom, and that would be a good time so they could put the flowers on the grave sites. After World War I, however, that day was expanded to honor those who have died in all American wars. Initially, it started out with Civil War. In 1971, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday by an act of Congress, though it is still often called Decoration Day. It was then also placed on the last Monday in May, as were some other federal holidays. And there are some states that have Confederate observances, as well as Texas have their Confederate Heroes Day on January 19th, and Virginia calls the last Monday of May Confederate Memorial Day, and so forth. The crowd attending the first Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery was approximately the same size as those that attend today's observances, 5,000 people. And they still put small American flags on each grave, a tradition followed at many national cemeteries today. And it has grown in many families to decorate the graves of all departed loved ones. Let's see, so Memorial Day is to honor our fallen comrades who have been in one of the services for our country. I'd like to introduce Mel Shepard. He is the acting commander at VFW 3836 here in Talkeetna, and he's also the current state commander for the VFW department, and he's held many other titles as well. Mel, what is Memorial Day for you?
Well, Memorial Day locally has always been a time when the people outside the major populace can get together and remember those not only interned, but those in memory that have served and fallen. We in Talkeetna honor the same tradition. You will see flags on each and every grave of a fallen comrade or their family interned in Talkeetna Cemetery.
Okay, that's another thing I know that we honor on Memorial Day when the VFW does their cemetery ceremony, that we honor and read the names of 60 veterans, not necessarily all buried there in the cemetery, but there's some beloved ones of people in and around Talkeetna that want that name read on that day, and that will occur next Monday on the 28th at 11 o'clock at the Talkeetna Cemetery for those of you who are interested in attending that ceremony. We have lots of memorials in Alaska, and there'll be activities throughout the state at a lot of these memorials. According to the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Alaska has more veterans per capita than all but one other state, and they have more of its residents in the military per capita basis than any other state. So it's no surprise that we also have a large number of veterans memorials. Also, there are over 75,000 veterans in the state of Alaska. And Alaska has some pretty interesting benefits we'll go over in a little bit for veterans in our state. There are, and I didn't count them, there's two pages worth of memorials here in Alaska. The closest one, I believe, is Byers Lake, right, Mel?
Absolutely. Byers Lake observes the day, and so does Nanana, as far as small communities going toward Fairbanks. And, of course, Fairbanks has two VFW posts in the local area, and they observe it as well at their national cemetery.
Do you know what they do in Wasilla?
At Wasilla, at their memorial, they meet every year, and they do pretty much the same as we do here. They have the ceremony, and then they time for everyone to get together and remember, and then they have a get-together after where people can remember their loved ones and remember the fallen ones.
What can you tell me about the Veterans Wall in Wasilla?
Well, the Veterans Wall in Wasilla was conceived through the through private donations. We didn't have one in the valley, and they thought that we should have one in the valley to remember the valley residents and not be included with the Anchorage. And it's worked out really well. It's quite a sight, quite an attraction for Wasilla.
I understand it's a third the size of the one in D.C.
It is a third of the size of the original wall, yes.
Okay, and Sitka also has down there on the water, they have memorial services. And we have two national cemeteries in the state of Alaska, one at Fort Richardson and one at Sitka, right? That's the two I know.
Absolutely. They call that a Capital Cemetery at Sitka, and the Fort Rich is the main national cemetery, and that's where all the traditional ceremonies are held, and that's worth seeing if you haven't seen that ceremony before.
And Anchorage has a bunch of them. And they've got roads named after veterans. They're also considered memorials. In South Central Alaska, just to list a few, they've got the 11th Air Force Americans Home from Siberia Memorial in Anchorage. They have the Byers Lake, which we mentioned. They have a Merchant Marine Memorial, a monument, rather, in Kenai. And they have the Blue Star Memorial Highway in Anchorage. Heritage Park Wall of Heroes at Elmendorf Air Force Base. And let's see, in Interior, they have displays at Fort Wainwright and Fairbanks, the Alaska Native Veterans Honor Bridge in Nenana, the Birch Hill Cemetery in Fairbanks. They have a Black Veterans Memorial Bridge, Gersel River on the Alaska Highway. Elson Air Force Base also has Heritage Park. Nenana has a city cemetery there that's also honoring some veterans. Fairbanks has Northern Lights Memorial Park. There's just so many to read here on Alaska and Dutch Harbor, Kiska, Kodiak, the Japanese American Monument in Attu Island. There's just the POW MIA Chugach Range in Wasilla. And there's several more here, which I won't mention. If you want to know more about the Alaska Veterans Memorials, there's two good sites. You can go to the Milepost and write in Alaska Veterans Memorials, or you can go to the State of Alaska page for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. And so that's how Alaska is so involved with veterans. What other things do you think that Alaska is doing to be proactive with veterans?
Well, the major thing, we have the service organizations working together to assist veterans in whatever manner that they may need, with the VA, housing. They have a stand-up on Fort Richardson every year. They have a stand-up in Fairbanks every year.
And what is that?
Well, the stand-up is a place for veterans to get together to share their situations with other veterans who are struggling in one manner or the other. And they have available to them the people that can help with their situation at that point and at that place. And we've helped a lot of people. I say us, as far as the service organizations go, the American Legion, the VFW, disabled veterans, AMVETS, those organizations really support the veteran in Alaska.
Okay. I know that I told you I was going to mention a little earlier about what some of the benefits that the state of Alaska has for its veterans. They have employment preference rights, which is pretty much nationwide, if I'm not mistaken. They have veterans employment services. They have very good job service for veterans here. They will record your report of separation, your DD-214, free at the courthouse. They have a veterans land discount purchase preference, and that's for any veteran. I think you can get 25% off or a lower interest rate, but you'll have to check into it. There are property tax exemptions for veterans that are 50% disabled. They have disabled veterans parking permits for 50% disabled veterans. They have veterans license plates that anybody can get. If you would want those, I think they're like $30 because it's like a vanity plate. They have hunting and fishing licenses, lifetime for veterans that are 50% disabled. State camping pass, you can get in all the state parks free of charge by picking up your disabled parking pass. You just have to bring your, if you've got a VA ID and it says service connected, you just take that downtown and they will help you get your camping pass. It's good for, I think, 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. They have an Alaska Marine Highway Pass. Veterans that are 50% and sometimes 70%, it depends upon who you talk to at the ferry place. You can go with an escort that you, if you have to have a, you know, somebody accompany you to push a wheelchair or whatever, both of you can get half price, but it's only within Alaska. So like you couldn't go down to Bellingham or something. But yeah, that's a good one. They have free tuition for a spouse or dependent of an armed services member. And so that is tantamount to what's available. In fact, they have moved one of the offices from the lower 48 up here because we have so many veterans to help them with their educational benefits and streamline them getting those. Veterans in Alaska, their military credit can go towards state retirement. If you're 80 or older, you can get a birthday card from the governor. And also, if you're World War One or two veteran, you can get a high school diploma. So they have a lot of things going on in Alaska that's geared towards veterans. And as far as burial benefits in general, can you tell us a little bit about what just any veteran can have as a burial benefit and how they qualify?
Well, first of all, if you want to be buried in a national cemetery, it's a request. It just takes a paperwork, and it's pretty simplified at this point. If beyond that point, free headstone markers, there's always a burial benefit, a death benefit. And the state of Alaska is very good about allowing burials of veterans, especially veterans in national cemeteries, about expediting that process.
Okay. And also, there's some other special benefits that's related to the National Guard. And I'm not quite sure all the details, but they've just recently come up with a bunch of things for those veterans because they've been quite active in going overseas to Iraq and so forth. All right, let me take a little bit of a break here, and I'll be right back. And we're back. And Mel, can you tell me something about the educational benefits for veterans?
Well, you touched on the benefit increases, putting the National Guard and Reserves back more online with the active duty military personnel. We never utilized the Guard and Reserve in the past like we do in these conflicts we're involved in now. Being that as it is, they had to go back and relook that and rethink that whole benefit package. And now it's more in line with the active duty people.
Okay, what about benefits for education in general for any veteran?
We've been working on veterans' benefits to the outlying areas in Alaska. That's one thing I'd like to touch on, is the increased availability of online programs, both through UAA and UAF, for people in the outlying communities, so they will have access to these benefits that only the populace has had in the past.
So they can go online and do courses and things?
Absolutely. They can go online. It's like 90% of the programs they can do. And, of course, their finals and their tests have to be mailed. But those other benefits, those other courses can be taken fully online, and they can get their degrees just like they were in a classroom.
So what can you tell me about, like, health benefits?
Health benefits is an annual struggle, looking for enough money to carry us through for the next year. The more veterans come back from the war zone, the more strain on the system, of course. We have the attrition rate. We finally do have the veterans home in Palmer. The Palmer Pioneer Home is reverting to a veterans home, our first in the state of Alaska. That was a great accomplishment for the service organizations to try to adopt that, and we finally got that done in 2006. And now at this point, we are still fighting for the VA budget to treat those coming from the war zone that would otherwise fall through the cracks. Mental health disabilities, the wounded in battle, we're trying to cover the whole spectrum.
So is that part of the involvement that I read when I was at the VA last on the wall about if when you get out, you got 2 years of free medical benefits, they're trying to not let them slip through the cracks?
Exactly, because what's happened, and I've seen it a couple times in this community, people get discharged from the military, fresh from a war zone, they're dumped back in the community, and they're having a hard time, as the history has taught us that all veterans do. They're having a hard time readjusting to society, and that is a lesson that we need to carry over. That's why the two-year benefit. You have 2 years to reacclimate back into society.
Also, we don't have a VA hospital per se here in Alaska, but we use a joint program with Elmendorf, so we do have some, but a lot of the veterans have to be flown to Seattle for benefits, medical benefits they need to have taken care of.
Obviously, there's still a lot of things that must be performed out of state, but we do have the budget and the appropriation for a new VA hospital.
Oh, wow.
Next to Elmendorf Hospital. And it's going to be accessible. You don't have to go inside the gate. It's going to be a free zone that any veteran can go to, and it's in the works. They've already breaking ground on it, and I'm sure it's going to take like 5-6 years, but we are in the process of putting that together right now.
Yeah, you would think as many veterans as we have that we would have, you know, benefit from something like that. What other kinds of benefits do veterans have?
As Carol touched on, there's many benefits from the state of Alaska. Getting job preference, reverting back to, you know, some of the wartime jobs, of course, don't convert to civilian life. So retraining is a major goal of the VA. It's giving people a skill that they can learn and go to work with, provided they have the eligibility through their service.
Now, is the state job organization working hand in hand, I assume, with the VA on those things?
Absolutely. There's a VA representative in every employment office in the state of Alaska, including Wasilla.
What about benefits for when, say, an Alaska veteran or a soldier dies, and now he's got his wife and kids here in Alaska? Last I heard that they didn't get very good benefits for when that would happen. So are they bolstering that up at some point now?
There's survivor benefits, and they've just recently, within the last 3 or 4 years, start offering a more comprehensive plan to these soldiers that are going to war, where their spouses and children will be taken care of. That plan is a long time coming, and they've worked on it quite a bit, and it's a good plan. It really is. And beyond that, the service organizations are trying to fill the gap between VA and the military. Between the military stops paying and stops taking care of people, until the VA actually kicks in and takes off. That's why the service organizations are there.
To make it a smoother transition.
Exactly. We have programs like the Unmet Needs Program, like Military Assistance Program, and it's there for that reason.
What about when veterans' families or veterans need help with these kinds of things? Is the Talkeetna VFW instrumental in that, and how would they go about finding out?
Absolutely. You can contact the VFW post locally. The phone number is same as the post. It's 3836. We'll be happy to answer any of your questions. If you have questions on veterans issues, if you have questions on availability, if you need a ride to the VA hospital, if you need a ride to Elmendorf Hospital, if you just need a ride to town to visit your VA rep at the employment service, we will provide that. We'll arrange that. Call the post, veterans, and that's why we're here.
I also understand that the VFW helps veterans' families in need. If, you know, there's something comes up and they can come to the VFW for help. Is that?
We are a small organization. We're a small community, but we do have a relief fund set up. And we try to help not only veterans, but people in the community that need assistance, people that get burned out, people that lose a loved one, people that need a funeral service. We provide those type of things to the community.
Also, I got another couple minutes here. I did want to mention that if anybody has a loved one that doesn't have their name called on Memorial Day and would like to have them called, and they are a military veteran, not necessarily of a war, it doesn't matter. You can call me. My name is Carol at 2572, and I'll be glad to add them to the list. You have anything else that you wanted to bring up, Mel?
No, I'd just like to say that this community is very unique, and Memorial Day service is something that we look forward to every year. It's a chance for all of us to get together in remembrance of someone we've lost somewhere along the way. And it's a good deal with the flyover. And then, of course, we always have a free lunch at the VFW after.
All right. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you being here. And this is Ben Nuggets. And you've been, this is a locally produced program focusing on the Northern Sonoma Valley. Do you have a nugget you'd like to share? If you would like to host a show, be a guest on this program, or get involved in some other way, please call the station at 733-1200. And Deb is doing something about birds. And I lost a little blurb. Uh-oh. I'm going to be in trouble now. Okay, well, anyway, Deb's going to be on doing something about birding for Nuggets next week. And thank you very much for listening.
Selling the Jeep, my nephew asked
me. Oh, that's probably those posters.
Oh.